Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, I want to play you something else right now because you may have heard the ads and you may have seen the posters for this here. But I'll tell you about it. Just have a listen and I'll sort of talk about it after that.
This station is Kennington. Change here for strangulation, mutilation and disfigurement. This is your last stop. Thank you for travelling on the Northern Line.
What do you want me to tell you?
Tell us the truth.
I'm telling you the truth.
You killed him. You killed him.
The Nobody Zone. The truth and legend of the Irish underground killer. A new six-part podcast from RTE.
In the end, Kelly put his hands up to maybe 13, 14, 15 murders.
Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Available wherever you get your podcasts. It's The Nobody Zone, a brand new original podcast series for RT. It's just kind of launched online. It deals with the world of homelessness, of violence, of alcoholism on the streets of London in the 1970s and the 1980s. Well, Rob Mulhern is a freelance journalist and documentary maker behind The Nobody Zone, and he's with us now to tell us what it's all about. Welcome to the programme, Rob. Let's get a handle on this thing here. Who are we talking about in The Nobody Zone? Who's the subject of this?
Good afternoon, Dave, and thanks for inviting me on. The subject of The Nobody Zone is Kieran Patrick Kelly. He was born in Laois, left from Laois to Dublin, and then, I guess, made a well-worn journey, like many Irishmen of his generation, to London, where he got work as a labourer on building sites and subsequently fell into, you know, what we have termed The Nobody Zone, which is a kind of transient world where people hid behind nicknames and the vagrancy laws were strong in Britain then, which actually drove people to who were homeless to commons and graveyards for fear of being arrested. And, you know, this subculture just existed in this twilight zone in London parklands. A lot of addiction issues, a lot of people masking their identities because they didn't want to be known.
Yeah.
And this was the world within which Kieran Kelly came to operate and commit his murders.
Okay, well, his name is Kieran Patrick Kelly, as you say. He was a drunk, a homeless Irishman, lived his life mentally in a semi-twilight world and physically in graveyards and commons, as you say. You know, how have we not really heard too much about this guy before?
Well, I mean, that's a question that's kind of, we were asking ourselves, like with the document in RTE, who obviously collaborated with Third Ear in Copenhagen, and obviously back in 2015, this story just came like a bolt from the blue. I myself have been working as a journalist in London for 7 years at that point, covering predominantly Irish stories, and had, you know, kind of by virtue of that, I kind of felt that a story so remarkable, it just seemed really weird and really curious that I didn't have any even kind of vague recollection of hearing anything about Kieran Kelly in any pub conversation or even out covering any other story. It was just, and then even when I did kind of like cursory checks on it, there was kind of nothing really there within the Irish community. You know, it's just, and I guess it was that kind of information deficit that then led to kind of, yeah, trying to find out more about who this guy was. Was this story for real? Obviously, the narrative at that stage and the reason why the story came to light in the first place was through an ex-copper who worked on the Kelly case, wrote a book that was released in 2015, which claimed Kieran Patrick Kelly had committed up to 31 murders. And according to him, Jeff Platt was the author of that book and the ex-copper. He said the reason nobody knew about all these crimes was because the Home Office and the British government had covered them up and made headlines around the world in 2015, everywhere from the Daily Express to the Huffington Post to the Irish Post. And I guess that's where we came in, trying to clear the fog and try and get to the bottom of the Kelly story, which became the six-part podcast.
Because, like, you know, the guy in question, Kieran Patrick Kelly, that starts off the podcast and you bring us right down to the underground in London where two people were fighting and not getting on any level, and suddenly the train comes in and one pushes another under the train. And then it goes up to what? 31 murders? Is that possible?
31? Well, the claims by the author of the book originally, who brought the story to light, was that Kieran Kelly had confessed to him to up to 31 murders. Now, how this ex-police man had come to get access to the Kelly story was, it was his job when Kelly was actually arrested and being charged for one murder, which we know absolutely definitely did happen in Clapham Police Station in 1983. And subsequently, when he was being brought to and from court, this ex-copper said Kieran Patrick Kelly confessed all these murders to him over a 30-year period that started way back in 1953 when he pushed his friend Christy Smith in front of a tube train at Baker Street Station in London. And it then became a wandering confession that Kelly told police officers in 1983 about all these crimes by all these different methods, you know, pushing people in front of tubes, poisonings, stabbings, beatings to death, pushing people downstairs, really kind of the breadth of the crimes in his rap sheet was pretty extensive.
And it wasn't like there was any major investigation for this guy. He came in because the two of the guys, himself and somebody else, had sort of chanced upon this old man in Clapham Common. They stole his watch and stole his ring and all the rest of it, and they were picked up pretty soon afterwards. They were brought to jail, as you say. There's another guy there in the jail, and basically he was snoring, and Kieran Patrick Kelly didn't like it, so he strangled him and killed him, and then he was taken up for that. And it's suddenly then he admits to everything. Is that it? I mean, like, on the tape recording is the big thing, isn't it? Like, you know, obviously the confession tape. What's all that about?
Yeah, I suppose there's two parts to that answer. I mean, the one of the lead detectives on the Kelly case, he's still alive. Ian Brown lives down in Kent. He's aged 84 now. And he was the detective superintendent in Clapham Police Station in 1983. As you say, Kieran Kelly was brought in for robbing a wedding ring off a man on Clapham Common, and he was put into a cell with another homeless man and subsequently murdered that man with, Kieran Kelly used his own socks to garrote the man, strangle the man to death. The officers ran to the cell, discovered that Kelly's cellmate was dead, hauled Kelly out, and during the interview that followed, Kieran Kelly confessed to all these murders. Now, Detective Superintendent Brown, he tells in the podcast how, because the nature of the crime was so brutal, he assumed that possibly this wasn't the first time Kieran Kelly had killed, yeah, you know, the extreme of it. So he took a punt and asked Kieran Kelly a loaded question about, you know, what other murders he had committed. And Kelly, not knowing that his bluff was being called, started into this wandering confession. And the tape that we got was actually one of the recorded interviews. There was up to 10. Yeah. There was up to 10 interviews that the police did with Kelly during that period. He was actually convicted on a manslaughter charge and a murder charge. So he was convicted in the Old Bailey.
But hold on, he
get a life sentence.
He was convicted of the manslaughter charge of the guy he killed in the jail. I mean, seriously, that was bizarre enough in itself. But the other thing is, like, you're talking possibly 30 murders, a murder a year for 30 years maybe. So obviously one of the big things about it is, you know, why was he not even arrested for why was he not charged with other murders? Like, what was happening? And why, obviously there's no, if this is the world before a digital footprint, but I mean, you know, why did he, if you like, almost, you know, get away with it?
Yeah, I think there was a tariff on a murder charge in 1983 in Britain. So, and I think it's because who the victims were, and
yeah,
the lead detective himself would say it was a different time. It was a time when, I guess, they felt that they had him on two. They had evidence to pursue other ones, but it wasn't as strong. Some of it was like a bit thin, so they just didn't, the police themselves would say that they didn't get the resources from top brass in Scotland Yard to really go after these other murder confessions. And once they knew Kieran Kelly was bang to rights on two cases, and they knew that they were going to get him sent down for murder and that he was going down for life, the incentive up the line in Scotland Yard wasn't there to go and pursue the other confession.
Okay, how many episodes of the podcast are on release at the moment?
There's three on release at
the
moment.
And there's one more on Tuesday, that'll be four, so there's two more to go after that. Six altogether, right?
We're halfway there, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like, it's five different languages, and it's Irish, even in the Irish language, it's Danish, it's all over the world as well. It's in the 1% of downloaded podcasts, and everybody is interested in this story now, suddenly, that it's out there. So in putting it together, what did you do? Like, there's a lot of sound effects. I mean, you hear the train coming into the station, you hear a policewoman saying, hello, police emergency, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, did you spend time realising this is a good story and we can build a sound around it and make it into a big, long story?
I mean, I guess I was talking to your producer during the week, and obviously, when I started checking out the story in 2015, I never anticipated that it was going to be a 5-year investigation. And it's the kind of story that kept on giving. Every time you found something else out, it led into another space. And ultimately, it just becomes this bizarre tale. There's obviously a lot of conflicting information to get through. But obviously, the Doc-on-One guys, brilliant at what they do, and I've been lucky enough to work with them in a freelance capacity over the years. And then they have a relationship with Third Ear in Denmark. Third Ear, you know, they kind of were the first to this long form, you know, podcast, serialized true crime telling. Everybody, I guess, thinks of Serial and is familiar with that. But the guys in Denmark and Third Ear are like really excellent at putting these long pieces together. So there's a collaboration there. So I mean, my job really on the Nobody Zone was the journalist in the field getting the recordings and just gathering all the information. And I guess, it's just touching off what you said about the tape. Obviously, it took about 4 years to get the tape.
Yeah, now hold on. I just want to get to that bit about the tape itself. And it's a simple question of why did it take so long to get this tape? As you say, there's 10. Is that what you said? This is only one of them. But I also, when I say the sounds and the music and all the rest, and just kind of bringing you into the atmosphere of the whole thing, I mean, let's go back to the beginning. When he's brought in, and oh God, another bloody two drunks, and it talks about the desk sergeant, his eyes rolling with boredom. Now, that's probably, like, that's made up in so many ways. There's a lot of stuff that is added in to make it more dramatic. And were you involved in any of that part of it in terms of just how we will present this over six programmes?
Well, we had a meeting in the summer where we storyboarded out all the elements of the story.
Yeah.
So actually sat down and decided whether the critical elements of the story, what order do we go about telling it. But in terms of designing the soundscape on the underground and the effects and you know, I guess the guys in Denmark, they've essentially, in collaboration with the Doc-on-One, you know, they've built that soundscape.
Let's get back to the guy himself, which is Kieran Patrick Kelly. Where is he from?
He was from Rathdowney in County Leash.
And when did he go to England and why? Was there a reason he went there?
Well, originally in the story, he came to England just before he committed his first murder at Baker Street. And there is reasons how he came to be in England in 1953. But some of those reasons are actually coming out in the episode the week after next.
Right.
So I'm trying to steer clear of that kind of space on the story. But just to go back to what you were saying about the tape and how it took so long to get it, I guess we were surprised that we even got it at all. I mean, the idea that a law enforcement agency would just hand over a, you know, 1 hour plus of a raw recording with a convicted killer. I guess for a long time, we collectively wondered whether the tape still existed and anyone had them, because they kind of became this mythical thing where we'd hear about them here and there and that one still existed. And then we had a few goals of getting them in the early years and nothing showed up. And eventually a contact that was cultivated within the British Transport Police said they had the tape, and I guess, is really just persistence and pestering that person to go up. And first we listen to it within the building of the transport police, and then eventually, after a lot of asking and, you know, to everyone's surprise, they actually handed it over.
Yeah, and just to reiterate what this tape is, I mean, he's arrested for killing his cellmate. He comes up and then, bingo, look, he takes the ring that he had just stolen out of his mouth and all the rest of it. And by the way, and here he goes, and he goes off and mentions all the other things. It's a confession tape, really, is what we're talking about here. So with all of what's happened, I mean, the big question, just to go back to it again, I'm not sure if you can tell me with three programmes to go, but, you know, I think the title of the programme really answers an awful lot of questions. And that is, like, you know, if he wasn't arrested for the other murders, the nobody zone, it's because, bluntly, he was murdering what effectively people were calling nobodies.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, as well as being a story of Kelly and compelling for all the reasons that we've just spoken about, obviously it's a story about a time and a place, and it's a story about crimes that could only have been committed in that time and in that place. I mean, these are not, this is not a story I feel that could happen now in a world where you leave digital footprints and people are easy to track. And I mean, back in the late 1970s and early 1980s in England, police forces around the UK, they weren't even connected like in a digital way or, in, you know, everything was file pulling. And so Kieran Kelly could conceivably go down to Bournemouth, commit a crime in Bournemouth, be hauled into court the next morning and just give any name he wanted, that he could come up with on that morning. And who were the police to check who he was? It was impossible. I mean, people didn't carry IDs. Nobody had a mobile phone. So in terms of the breadth of, you know, that then, you know, serves the breadth of Kelly's confession. Across, not only in London, but confessing the crimes in the south of the country
as well. Yeah. And by the way, I just want to just mention here that, like, you know, if you want to check it all up and just find out where it all is, we're talking here about the Nobody Zone. You can get the first bunch of episodes as we speak, and then I think it's number 4 on Tuesday, and then 2 more after that. Basically, from wherever you get your podcasts, it publishes weekly for 6 weeks. Started Tuesday, the 18th of February, so a few episodes still to go. It'll be offered, by the way, in 5 languages: English, bilingual version in Danish, Spanish, German, very special Irish language version in association with RT Radio na Gaeltachta, and an audio cinema version of the podcast series will also be made available via the RT player and also on YouTube. Well, congratulations so far. It's pretty riveting stuff, all right. I will definitely be listening to the next 3. Got to find out exactly where it goes. Rob Mulhern, I really appreciate it, Rob. Thanks a million for talking to us on the programme today.
No, listen, thank you for having me on.
All right, good luck.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.